Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, sitting in for Dustin Hawkinsmith. Across the way from me, Andrew P. Shea, sitting in from Greg Pickle, although we did hear from Greg in quarter number two. And now, another special guest, Mr. Todd Sadowski from Fox 43 TV. Andy, could you believe it? We've got a TV star on with us.
Hey, Todd, how you doing?
You're not a star to me. What's up, gentlemen? How
you
doing today?
You're not a star to me. You know that.
Oh, he's a big star. He's on TV.
None of us are stars. We're all just guys schlepping around, trying to make a living, enjoying what we do.
Well, Todd, you're a big enough star that Greg said coming on before you, he's like the table setter in baseball. He just wanted to get on base for the power guy.
Yeah. Oh, I see. I see how it works. Okay, sounds good. I think Andy's got it more accurately than anybody else. Yeah, we're just schlepping along, enjoying our jobs. And that's certainly been the case here in Chicago, guys. It's been a fun couple of days. I really enjoy this event. I've only been able to come here the last few years, but it's really cool the way it's set up, and you get to hear from all the coaches and the players, and they're all honored to be here, certainly the players to be picked as, you know, your captains, your team leaders, so you get a chance to get to know some of these guys.
That's fantastic that you get that opportunity, but I want to ask you first, Todd, about James Franklin and your first take on him and his presentation to the media, and even maybe the difference between James Franklin today and a few years ago when he first started this gig.
Well, I mean, everybody knows when James comes in, he can work a room, and there's a different energy level when he steps up on the podium than some of the other coaches. What I liked about what he had to say in his initial session with the media is he was pretty open about all of his concerns. I mean, he identified the position groups that were, you know, concerning to them right away, and that's the defensive tackles and the linebackers. You know, he talked about the defensive backs, and that everybody really kind of says, well, we lost all of our defensive backs to the NFL and all the seniors are gone, but he wasn't really worried about the defensive backs from the standpoint of there was still a lot of production and a lot of guys coming back that had gotten a lot of time. So, you know, he's pretty open and honest about what they're working on, what they need to do. I had a chance to ask him about, you know, maybe that from the last play of the Fiesta Bowl until, if we say the Big Ten Media Days is kind of the unofficial beginning of the season, you know, what's making Penn State special during that time? What can, you know, because in a lot of sports they say, guys, right, you can win games before you even take the field, right? But, you know, for football, it's maybe the preparation during the week or that kind of stuff. And so I wanted to know what preparation and what things they were doing football-wise that was making a difference. And he said, really, it has to be in every area in order to be a top 10 program. You have to excel in all of them. You can't just do one or two things well. You've got to do all of them. And that, whether that's recruiting, player development, all those types of things. And speaking of player development, that was the one area he identified that he feels the staff is doing an excellent job in player development. And that's led to a lot of success on the field.
And I'll tell you what, just as a follow-up to that, Todd, I heard an interview with him where he was asked the question, gee, is Penn State back? And I think it's real easy for a coach to just answer that question, yes. But I thought what was fascinating in that answer was you can't start to get comfortable. It's everybody else is competing with their, you know, the foot on the gas, and we've got to be the same way. And it kind of hits that same thing that with the answer he gave you. You got to keep getting better or you're going to fall behind.
Well, no doubt. And I mean, for Coach Franklin, the devil's always in all the details. I mean, this guy takes things to the nth degree, and that's usually where you find a lot of success, whether it's with a company or an organization. And that's how he views, you know, the football team is obviously it's a family, but as far as putting a product on the field, it's an organization that he has to keep watch on every single detail. And that's what he excels at. That's what he wants to do. And that's not going to change for him. I mean, does anybody feel that a guy like James Franklin is going to dial it back all of a sudden? I don't think
no.
He works that way. That's just not how the guy is built.
Hey, Greg, Todd. I said this in quarter number one on our show. I wanted to ask Greg about it, but I also wanted to get your impression if you think this, having been to the Big Ten Media Days the last couple of years and heard James, for the first time it felt like he was not pushing a Penn State rock up a hill when he was trying to when he was talking about his program and what they're doing and where they're going. In other words, it just seemed on Monday, he felt more like a statesman rather than a salesman. Did you get that impression? Well, look, he always commands a room. That's inherently part of who he is. But there was a little more sort of comfortable in his own skin. I don't have to push and sell this program as much. This is where we're at now. Did you get that impression as well?
Well, absolutely, and it makes sense. I mean, he doesn't have to sell. Hey, I can do this. I can do this for you. Well, how about the narrative switches to, I've done this for you. I've done this for, you know, the team, or we've done this as a group, and now this is, you know, it's basically, let's continue it. How do we continue this down this road that we've established? You know, he talked a lot about laying foundation of confidence and that type of stuff. And yeah, I mean, that's, you know, the players come in, you look at the recruiting difference. You know, it's the, Salim Worley said, I'm 1,000% committed. I mean, these guys aren't even wavering. And every person, even if they don't choose Penn State, has got them in their top 10 or their top 5. They're at least considering going to Penn State and State College. So, yeah, I agree with you, Andy. I mean, but that makes sense. You know, that's the natural evolution of, you know, when you're getting into your fifth, your sixth year, your, you know, that type of deal, and you achieve the kind of success the Nittany Lions have achieved the past couple of years.
I know you're, when we talked to Greg earlier, Greg's more like a sort of news, straight up information, great resource. You're more a story and people guy. Am I right or wrong?
Absolutely.
You give you what you need to know, but you're more about the people and the stories. What interesting people and stories were you working on, or are you working on at the Big Ten? Without telling us what you're doing, because I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just saying, what kind of interesting.
I mean, you're 100% right. I like to be an observer. I like people watcher, and I like to try to find some of the interesting tidbits that are going on when it comes to, you know, especially an event like this. I mean, yes, we're talking about football, but you're also kind of getting a feel for what the guys are like and what the people around the program are like. I mean, you know, look, I'm really excited about Scott Frost joining the Big Ten. I mean, the West is just got to get some more balance, and I'm hoping he can, you know, re-energize Nebraska and at least make them competitive against Wisconsin. But, you know, he's hanging out in cargo shorts in the lobby, you know, I mean, with everybody. He's just a down-to-earth Nebraska guy who is back home. I mean, he looks completely comfortable, and it's just, you know, I mean, he looks comfortable in his own skin as far as in that position, and he feels like it, you can tell we're in Chicago, but you can tell he feels home in Nebraska. And then there's Chris Ash, poor Chris Ash with Rutgers, even though they're making strides, he's talking and nobody's listening.
Right.
I mean, he's in the room, you know, the media is like, he's like one of the middle guys that are talking, and he's talking, and he's looking around. And if you've ever been in front of a big room, you know, you're trying to make eye contact, and you hear the guys just looking at people, looking down at their phones, trying to meet deadline or send an email, or they're thinking to themselves, oh, I got 10 minutes to do what I need to do, because poor Chris Ash is up at the podium.
Was he the coach who didn't get any questions?
What's that?
Was he the coach that didn't get any questions from the media?
Well, let's just say they kept saying, okay, the floor's open. The floor's open. So you could have got whatever question you wanted in on that session.
Well, speaking of the other coaches, I can't help it, but to compare and contrast, you have James Franklin, and then you have Jim Harbaugh. They couldn't be more different. What was your take on Harbaugh? I got to ask you.
Well, I mean, just like Andy pointed out, James Franklin could get up there as a statesman. You know, Harbaugh, I mean, he's in a tough spot. I mean, this could not be something on his calendar he was looking forward to, guys. And it was funny because we actually checked in Sunday night and Harbaugh hopped in the elevator at the same time. And, you know, I he couldn't like necessarily feel stress or whatever. He was just like, he's got a different vibe about him, you know? And you got the feeling right away he didn't want to be there. And of course, the questions that he got were poignant. I mean, you know, the one guy just laid out his record and then said, what are you going to do about it? And,
right.
You know, what can you do about it?
You are what you are.
Yeah, improvement's going to lead to success. Okay, well, you know, they got to see improvement. And look, he's 1-5 against Michigan State and Ohio State. Brady Hoke was only 2-6. So they only got one more year. And guess what? Both of those games are on the road for the Wolverines. And Michigan State and Ohio State are both really good. So, whew, well, it's tough.
The other thing that surprised me, Todd, about his time up there was he made no initial statement himself. You'd think, I thought he would filibuster for his whole time so he wouldn't have to take questions.
No, that's not his style, Jim. Yeah. He did the same thing last year. Last year, he made reference to the entrance. So, it's kind of weird. Standing back there, and you come through the curtain, and here we are. And that was it. That was his opening statement last year. So, no, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty standard fare for him.
I got one more question about Penn State. Did you find it, and James Franklin, did you find it surprising or refreshing the way he spoke about the true freshmen? In other words, he didn't couch it. He didn't hide it. He's like, no, these guys are good. And if they can earn their way on the field, and I think some of them will, we're going to play them and use them. That is not an up for debate topic. We like these guys. Did that surprise you, or were you not surprised?
No, it didn't surprise me at all. I mean, especially when Andy, we've talked before about him reeling in 5-star recruits, right? That was kind of like the last hurdle that you need to clear as a recruiter, is you need to nail some of the 5-star kids. Well, if you want to keep nailing and securing 5-star kids, you better let them know that you think highly of them and that they're going to have opportunities to play. But, you know, Pat Fitzgerald from Northwestern was asked about the redshirt rule, and his eyes lit up. He just, all the coaches, I think, are excited about it. He mentioned it specifically, and I think this is a perfect, perfect season for Penn State for that redshirt rule to be instituted, where you can test the waters, dip your feet in a little bit and see what these guys can do. You know, James mentioned, he goes, look, just because the rule's there doesn't mean all these guys are going to play. They still have to earn that time to get on the field for 2, 3, 4 games at the max. But you mentioned the freshman, and this is a great time. This is a great year for Penn State to have that redshirt rule.
Todd, in about the 30 seconds that we have left, you talked earlier about James's candor of the weaknesses on the team, defensive tackle, middle linebacker. What was your take on the fact that he seemed to really push that the offensive line has turned a corner?
Well, I mean, that's a really we'll wait and see type of thing, but that's the area they've really concentrated on, guys, recruiting-wise, and they've the strength program and everything points to this unit being a lot better, and it better be, because you had a chance to talk to Joel Klatt with Fox Sports, and we were talking about the fact that, look, they're going to start game planning Trace. And in those situations where they were concentrating on Saquon and let Trace beat them, they're not going to let Trace beat you this year. You're going to have to do it with the running game and the offensive line.
You're exactly right. That they've got to do the job. Todd, thank you so much for joining us from Chicago. As always, we enjoy it. You're definitely going to have to come back and talk to us some more.
Will do. Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
All right. Thank you, Todd. Stay tuned. We're going to have in quarter number 4 what Andy and I love about college football.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.